How many of you are familiar with that song? Mary, did you know? And I love the way that, the question's asked, written by Mark Lowry from the Gaither groups and sung by many different people. But so it says, Mary, did you know? Did you have a clue? Did you have any idea that this baby that you're carrying, that he would, its song says, make the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, raise the dead. He would. Did you know? And I love it when it says, "In this, did you know that when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God." I mean, I love the song. Thank you very much for the song, Becca. Thank you again for your song this morning. We are truly blessed. This morning, I want to speak with you. Chad says, let me guess, you're going to be in Luke chapter 2 this morning. And I said, no. But that's what you would expect, right? I mean, that's the story of the birth of Jesus Christ, right? How many of you thought that I was going to be in Luke chapter 2? So Chad doesn't feel like he's the only one. Chad, I'm sorry, dude. Everybody else knew that they could expect something different. Either that or they're just not being honest. Matthew chapter 2 is where we're going to be this morning. Actually, we're going to be all over the place. I told Chad when he was entering the scripture for the screen you have up here this morning, I said, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 2. We're going to be in Numbers chapter 24. He was like, Numbers? That's not the Christmas story. Well, we're going to look at that. Matthew chapter 2. Beginning in verse 9, it says this. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. This is about the wise men or the magi. Okay, after they heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. We've got this group of individuals, and they're making their way from Persia. All right, these wise men, magi, however you want to put it. They're headed from Persia, which is modern-day Northwest India, parts of Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iran. That was the Persian Empire. That's kind of where they're making their way from, over towards outside of Jerusalem to Bethlehem. They traveled about 800 to 900 miles. Now, these guys were noble men. They were high-ranking people in their society. They were officials. They were educated men. They were respected men in their societies. Your version again might say wise men or magi. Magi is where we get the word magician from. They were schooled men. They studied the stars. They were astrologists and astronomers, and they were navigating by the stars. This is before GPS. This is before Siri. Siri, how do I get to Bethlehem? Yeah, try that sometime. It'd be fun. It's before compasses. You had to navigate by the stars, and so they did a lot of traveling at night so they could make sure they're headed in the right direction. In the daytime, you couldn't always see the stars. However, this star was a little different. Okay. There were also more than three of them. Okay. Now, that's going to throw some of you in a tailspin, because if you look at the nativity scene, there's three wise men there, right? Okay. Well, there's more than three of them. And a lot of times there's three wise men at the nativity scene because there were three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And actually, the wise men actually don't even belong in the nativity scene because they weren't there at the nativity. We'll get to that, all right? Not that it's that important, but there was probably a host of travelers coming from the east to Bethlehem to see this prophecy fulfilled. Now, how did they even know about the prophecy in the first place? How did they know about the prophecy that there would be a Messiah born? Okay? Well, if we go back, the Medo-Persian Empire, which became the Babylonian Empire, which is where these guys were from, they have in their certain history a man that we might recognize. And his name is Daniel. Now, Daniel, he was one of the exiled Hebrews in the Babylonian exile, right? He became the number two guy in the empire. And because of his faith in God and his trials with jealous leaders, he was thrown into a lion's den. Even against the king's desire, who made the decree, he was kind of tricked and hoodwinked into doing that. But when they lifted Daniel out of the lion's den unscathed, the king ordered that those jealous and treacherous guys, they were thrown into the hungry lions, and they had lunch, let me tell you. After that happened, the king made a proclamation that they would all worship the God of Daniel's and his contemporaries, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There's a story about that. Remember, they made this big statue and said, y'all are all going to bow down and worship the king, and they didn't. And it's about the same time as Daniel. And they said, well, you're going to be thrown into the fire. They threw him in the fire. When they looked in, they could see that there were four people in there. They only threw three people in. They threw four people in. The angel of the Lord was in there with them. And they weren't burned. They weren't burned. People that threw them in the fire were burned. The king made this decree that everyone would worship the God. And he was talking about the God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was the number two guy in the kingdom, kind of like Joseph rose to prominence in the Egyptian kingdom. Daniel rose to prominence in this Persian kingdom, the Babylonian kingdom, because he had a part in God's plan. And that part of God's plan was to tell the story, right? So that all peoples would be blessed, as his promise to Abraham. These schooled men, they had learned of the prophecy of the Messiah, and they had been looking for a sign. Okay? They most certainly had at least the Pentateuch, or the first five books of the Bible, okay, which include the book of Numbers. Here's where we get to Numbers. Numbers chapter 24, verse 17 says, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob's scepter, out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of the Moab, the skulls of all the people of Sheth. You see, when they saw the star, because they've been looking for it, okay? They knew of the prophecy. Again, these were educated men. They knew of the prophecy. Daniel had come to prominence. The king ordered a decree. Everybody's going to worship his God. And so they were familiar with this story. And they were looking. They even knew which direction to look because they knew of the land of Jacob. Okay? Where did all these people that came into the kingdom come from? From the land of Jacob. And they even knew which direction to look. They saw the star. They made the connection, and it led them to Jesus. That's a very important statement. You're going to need to remember that. They saw the star. They made the connection, and it led them to Jesus. It was the brightest star in the sky. Modern-day astrologists and astronomers, they have a way of tracking the stars, and they can kind of put all the data in, and they can rewind it to see what the sky would have looked like back 2,000-some years ago. And here's what they found in their studies. They determined that at the particular time in history we're talking about, the birth of Christ, there was a conglomeration of stars that appeared. And they could be seen because of their closer proximity to one another and because of their closer proximity to the sun. I don't know exactly how all that works. They're smarter than me in that realm, so I'll trust what they say. Okay? They were brighter because of their closer proximity to the sun. And there's a lesson in that. Here's the lesson. Proximity matters. Closeness matters. If you want to impact your globe, remember we talked about last week, or shake up our world, our globe, our snow globe. If you want to impact your world, get in closer proximity to the sun. I'm not talking about the S-U-N, I'm talking about the S-O-N, and his name is Jesus. If you'll get in closer proximity to the sun, your life will shine bright enough for others to see and notice and be led to Jesus Christ. Now, we also know that it took these guys about 18 to 24 months to travel that 800 to 900 miles to make that journey. And Matthew, back up in verse 11 of chapter 2, tells us that when they got to Bethlehem, they entered the house. Where was Jesus born? In a barn, in a stable, right? Because the manger, which is a feed trough, right? Well, that's where he was born. Well, by the time they get there, he's in a house, okay? They've set up shop in a house. They've bought a house, rented a house. Somebody gave him a house. I don't know. We also know that when they met with King Herod, he questioned them about the timing. When did they see the star? When did it appear? All right, and they said, well, it's been almost 2 years now. Well, so then King Herod made a plan. He said, all right, I know of the prophecy because I am a Jew, and I know of the prophecy, and I'm a king, and I don't want my kingdom to be messed up by some Messiah. So 2 years ago, all right, every child two and under, my decree. That's what he said. And so they began to kill every child under 2 years to kill the Messiah. Now, like I said, it's so cute and pretty to have the wise men in the nativity scene, but you have to know that that's not an accurate picture. They were 2 years away, at least, 18 months to 2 years away at the birth of Jesus Christ. But if you will shine bright enough, listen, even if it takes you years, you will eventually lead others to Christ. Did you know that? You can lead others to Christ even if it takes a long time. And I know that there's some of you in here that have been praying for your kids for a long time. Some of you in here may have been praying for your parents for a long time. Some of you I know have been praying for your spouses for a long time. Don't stop. Don't give up. God will use you if you will shine bright. Amen? In order to do that, you've got to stay in close proximity to Jesus. How do I do that, you might ask? I'm glad you did. I heard it out there somewhere, I'm sure. I heard your thoughts. Philippians chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. And we're going to kind of break this passage down. It says, do everything without grumbling or arguing, that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Does anybody agree that we're in a warped and crooked generation? All right. But then it goes on. It says, then, after we've done it all, let me read it again. After we have done everything without grumbling or arguing, so that we become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. Then I'll be able to boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor in vain. If you want to shine just a little bit brighter, I got three things for you that'll help you. You got to focus on the inside. Focus on the inside. Back up there at the beginning of that passage, it says, do everything without grumbling. What is grumbling? Grumbling is that secret displeasure that we express. Well, I'm just saying. A lot of times people can't make out what you're saying because you're going, they know you're upset. They can't really understand what you're saying. Has anybody ever heard anything like that? Yeah. Focus on the inside. Let's do what it says up here. Do everything without grumbling. Don't grumble about it. Don't grumble about it. The second thing is this. Then we can focus on the outside. How does it go? It continues on. Without grumbling or arguing. Arguing is not secret. All right? That's when you get in somebody's, get all up in their grill, right? All up in their face, and you start just, a lot of times the finger comes out. Have you ever noticed that the finger seems to grow? You got like the ET finger, and it's just like shaking in there. I told you once, I told you a million times. Yeah, that sound familiar? arguing. We got to focus on the inside. We got to quit the grumbling. Quit the secret expression of displeasure. Then we got to focus on the outside. We got to stop the external expression of displeasure. And then, number three, we got to hold firmly to the Word. It says, then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the Word of life. Folks, the Word of life is invaluable in your life. Money can't buy anything more precious than the Word of God. John 1:1 says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ is the Word. Later on it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Christmas. God in the flesh, God's Word became real for us some 2,000 years ago. That is the story of Christmas. Now, how many of you think that, okay, you told me I got to focus on the inside, focus on the outside, hold firmly to the Word. That's easy. I can do all that, no problem. No hands. No hands showed up because it's not easy. It's no easy task. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes the trip takes longer than expected. Sometimes we see the star and we say, oh, okay, that's it. That's where I need to go. And you start walking. 18 months later, you're still not there yet. 2 years later, you're getting close, but you're not quite there yet. And you're wondering, how much longer am I going to have to keep going? It's taken forever. I've been praying forever. I've been pleading with God to save my loved one, my friend, my co-workers, my spouse, my kids, my parents. I've been praying forever. Lord, when is it going to happen? Just don't give up. Just don't give up. Then we got to stay bright, even in dirty situations. Okay, now we find ourselves in some dirty situations sometimes. I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like it would probably be easier to worship in a palace than in a smelly barn. And sometimes my world gets a little smelly, and I find it might be just a little bit more difficult to worship in my smelliness. Yeah, sometimes I'm the one that's stinking up the place. Sometimes it's easier to worship when the bank statement shows a positive balance instead of a negative balance. Sometimes it'd be easier to worship if my marriage relationship was as good as it once was. Or it'd be easier to worship if my kids were better behaved. Or if my parents actually acted like they loved me. If I had a better job. If I had a job. There are times when we might seem that it would be easier to worship because of the dirtiness of the situation. Even when it's dirty, remember, where did these wise men go to? Well, they didn't go to the barn, okay? They went to a house. But where was the Son of God born? In a barn. Okay, for all you non-agricultural people out here, let me explain to you what happens in a barn. Do I need to explain to you what happens in a barn? Animals get fed in the barn. Okay? There's this thing called digestion that happens. When animals eat, how many of you have pets? Okay. How many of you have a job that your job is to clean up the mess that they make outside or inside, if the case may be? Okay. When animals eat, okay, not unlike us, when we eat, it doesn't just stay there after our body's done with it. Whatever's left exits the body, right? Okay, some of y'all aren't getting it. It's called poop. Okay? Animals go poop. And they go poop in the barn too. So just think about this, okay? Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of all mankind, the Messiah, is born in the midst of all that too. A smelly situation. But when the shepherds got there, because they were closer, they went in and they worshiped. Mary and Joseph were worshiping. Sometimes we're afraid to shine brightly because of a fear, like we talked about last week. Maybe it's a fear of rejection, the fear of our image or our reputation. You know, what will people think about me? Will they think I'm one of those radical people that just talks about Jesus all the time? Will they call me a Bible-thumping Christian and turn them off? What will they think about me? I've got a reputation to uphold, and I can't be all sissified by church stuff, right? Let me tell you something, just as a side note. There is nothing more masculine, for you guys out there, there is nothing more masculine than loving Jesus. I tell you, there's nothing more manly than confessing your faith in Jesus Christ and following Him, and He will direct your paths, and you'll be a better man for it, I guarantee it. Try it if you haven't. Should you be concerned what other people think? That's a good question. Should I be concerned what other people think? The churchy answer would be no. I'm going to not care about what they think, but I'm not quite so sure on that, because I think maybe we do need to be concerned about what they think. What will they think if we both show up to heaven at the same time and get to the gates and they say, Pastor Mike? They're probably not going to call me that when I get up there. They're just going to call me Mike. Medium Mike. I used to be Big Mike. Now it's Medium Mike. Medium Mike, come on in. Come on in, because I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And what if this other person that knows me and I've known them and I've not shared with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he gets up there and they go, who? Oh, I'm sorry. Your name's not in the book. I should be concerned what that person thinks. I should be concerned what the person thinks that when we show up there and they go, my name is in the book? Oh, sweet. I want to thank Michael Nix because he shared a story with me and it led me to a faith in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, you need to be concerned about what people think. Because on that day, I pray that their thinking turns to thanking because you share with them the most precious and important news ever told to men. The wise men, it says they left differently than how they came. Did you know that you cannot encounter Christ and remain the same? You can't. You cannot encounter Christ and remain the same. If you say you've encountered Christ and there's been no change in you, you have to question whether or not you truly encountered Christ, because when we read in Scripture, everybody that encountered Christ walked away differently. Some walked away. Well, some couldn't walk and they walked away. All right? Some walked away healed. Some walked away with with salvation. Okay? Some walked away disappointed. Remember the rich ruler? He said, well, go sell your stuff and then come follow me. And he walked away sad because he loved his stuff more. He walked away sad. The religious people, they walked away mad. But they weren't the same. You cannot encounter Jesus Christ and walk away the same way you walked in. You know, I thought about something this week. I always come in this back door, straight out through this door in the back. That's the way I come into church. And when I go out, I always go back out that same door. I wonder if I might just try going out a different door. Just to symbolize, I'm walking out differently than I walked in. Because every time we walk in, we should walk out changed. We should walk out challenged. We should walk out a little bit different. You ought to try that. Leave a different door. Leave by a different door. They left differently than when they came. Allow the change to come and it will impact your world. I guarantee it. We ought to just try it. We ought to just try it. The last thing, I'm almost done. Stay bright, even when you don't want to give your best. Is there anybody in the room honest enough to say, sometimes I don't feel like giving my very best? Six people. Okay. Some of you are getting a little more honest. That's good. That's good. Even when you don't feel like giving your best. Sometimes we wake up and we just don't feel like being a Christian today. Actually, that's a little strong because I always want to be a Christian. Sometimes I just don't want to act like one. Okay? I always want to be a Christian. I always want to be saved. Sometimes I just don't want to act like it. Sometimes I just want to allow myself to be inhibited and just do what I want to do. And sometimes we got to stay bright even when we don't want to give our best. The wise men brought the best gifts they could. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The best gift you can give God today is a sacrifice of praise. Your worship. To say to Him, God, I trust You. God, I can't do this by myself. I can mess it up in a hurry by myself, but I can't do it right without You. And I know that. And I lean on You. You're my God. You're my salvation. And I thank You for it. That's worship. I'm not talking about singing, although our hearts are often expressed through song, right? We have worship songs and that kind of stuff, and that's great. But worship is more than singing. Some of you can worship without even singing. I want to encourage you to sing. Singing is a great way to express it, but you can worship without singing. Well, prayer is worship. Giving of your tithes and offerings is worship. Bending the knee, talking to the Lord, that's worship. It's a recognition of who God is and surrendering ourselves to Him, whatever He desires for me. Are you giving Him your very best? Doesn't He deserve it? Ought we not to be giving the Lord our very best, even when we don't feel like it, even when it's stinky around us? Yeah. Even when it takes longer than we thought, and even when we're scared, He deserves our very best. He deserves our very best all the time. This story, the wise men, the magi, they came with a whole host of people. They probably had caravans of camels and donkeys and stuff, and they were carrying all kinds of supplies in their tents, and you know, it was like a circus. They showed up in town, probably some close to 2 years after the birth of Christ. They didn't stop until they got there. They kept making progress toward the goal, which was under the star. Folks, if you really want to impact your world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you've got to shine brighter than any other star in the sky. How do you shine bright? Stay close. Stay close to the Word, who is Jesus. How do you stay close? One, get in church. It helps. Get in the Word. That's even better. Do both of them. That's even better than that. Get around other people who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And worship. Worship like you've never worshipped before. He's worthy of your very best. I bet you there's no person in this room that would say, no, Jesus doesn't really deserve my very best. But yet, too often we fail to give it. For whatever reason. Folks, this time we stop and say, you know what? I've got to be different. I've got to change the way I roll. I've got to change my mode of operation. The New Year's coming up. This year's going to be different. This year's going to be, I'm going to get back in the Word. I'm going to get back in church. I'm going to bring people to church. I have seen some folks this in church here lately because of somebody's faithfulness to bring them. And it just makes my heart smile. Inviting people to church. Folks, we got chairs. We got empty chairs. We got room for them. Let's get them here. If we get too many people, we now have heat and air conditioning in the gym. We'll just go out there. There's a lot more room out there. That's not a problem. And it's not like they're running out of people. They're out there. Are you shining? Are you leading? Can they tell that there's something different about you? Father in heaven, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for the star that shone that led people to Jesus. Father, help us do like it said in your word, to shine bright like stars in the sky. Lord, there are people's lives at stake here. There are people out in that world that this pastor will never have an opportunity to influence their lives. But people in this room have an opportunity to. So Lord, challenge each and every one of us to shake up our world. To shine brightly so that others will be led to Jesus Christ. That's our job. Their response is not our job. That's up to them. But we can sure lead them toward you. We can sure lead them to the information, to the stories, to the knowledge. And then, Father, your Holy Spirit, draw them. Lord, I pray right now for parents who have been praying for their kids to come to Jesus or to come back to Jesus. I'm praying right now, Lord, for kids who've been praying for their parents to come to Jesus. Lord, I'm praying for wives who've been praying for their husbands. I'm praying for husbands who've been praying for their wives. I'm praying for workers who've been praying for their co-workers. Father, encourage them to keep on keeping on, to continue to shine and shine brightly, and to trust in you, Father, to do your job. But Father, encourage us to do ours. In Jesus' name.